I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast.
We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 66, we discuss your Eleanor, you know, the thing that's just out of your reach. Guys, our audio is all over the place right now because we had some equipment failure. Thanks for understanding, and please bear with us as we get this squared away. Plus, we cover some Florida politics, including the Carlos Baruff issues with Rick Scott and the Cast and Blast Florida Army.
What's new, Nate?
I went squirrel hunting the other day for the first time in years, and it was a blast.
Is squirrel hunting... Go ahead, Emily. No. Go ahead.
How many squirrels did you harvest? Dispatch.
No, harvest is good. Kill is good. Whatever you want to say is good. I got 5 that day.
What's the limit on squirrels?
Up here is 12. It's the same in Florida.
How many shots did you take?
One squirrel... One of them took a couple of shots.
I wish our listeners could see Nate's face as he describes this.
I took more than 5, but we'll leave it at that.
Were they not decoying?
No. No. They weren't responding to calls very well.
They weren't?
No. You know, typical.
Can we hear your squirrel car?
Migration's not really happening right now.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of water up north. There's no hard freeze.
Right.
It's typical.
Can we hear your squirrel call?
Can I ask you a question?
I don't have a squirrel call.
Have you talked to the guys at Squirrel Unlimited to see like what they think is the problem with the squirrel migration?
Yeah, I have. And okay. I think they had just a bumper acorn crop up north. And okay. So they're not moving for food.
They're all sitting in Canada. Do you think Squirrel Unlimited has heated fields of acorns up north and that's where they're sitting?
Yep.
Probably.
That's where they're at.
Wow. You guys are nuts.
Wow. That was pretty good. That was actually really good. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Thank you. What's new with you, Trav? Wait, can I go first? Because you have the best what's new.
Okay, you go first. What's new with you, Emily? Did you forget what's new?
I think
new?
My what's new is the same as yours. I was just scrolling through the Book of Faces waiting for Nate to join us here in the studio, and I noticed that DeSantis fired a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, DeSantis.
He's loose cannon. House. Yeah, he's burning it down, and I love it.
So, at the time of this recording, this is fresh. Like, this is going to air on Tuesday, like it does every week. But at the time of this recording, it's pretty fresh. We have been pretty adamantly calling for the rescission. Is that the right word? To rescind.
Sure.
I guess. The Friday that Rick Scott, his last Friday in office, he made a bunch of political appointments, over 70 that day. And then he made a few more on Monday. And one of them was a name, Carlos Baruff. And this guy is like, he's the worst. That's the only way I could describe him, is he's the worst. He's anti-hunting. He's anti-environment. He's anti-fishing.
He's anti-eagles.
Yeah, he's just he's terrible.
And he was appointed to the FWC commission, right?
Right, for our out-of-state listeners.
Like the Florida
listeners.
Wildlife Commission.
There you go.
This is our DNR. This is who regulates hunting and fishing and who regulates our state lands and things like that. And so this guy was appointed to this.
Appointed by Voldemort.
Yeah, by Rick Scott as an FWC commissioner. So he's now got oversight on hunting regulations, fishing regulations, bear hunts, spraying.
Environmental issues.
Spraying is under FWC's thumb. Like, good freaking grief. This is a dude. I won't go into what a mitigation bank is, but if you're listening, you know what a mitigation bank is. It's like a conservation easement for simplification of this conversation. And he wanted to go in and cut all the mangroves down on a mitigation bank for the view. So tell me how he's going to handle a lake full of hydrilla and grasses and everything else. He's going to say, nuke it.
Kill it all, yeah.
Nuke it and build houses, folks. That's what FWC is all about. That's such, oh my God. I was so furious.
Yes, you might have actually noted Travis's furiousness in his letter that he penned, an open letter.
Yeah, which I want to give a shout out to Mike Elfenbein, who gave me some of the data. And I fact checked it, obviously, but he gave me some of the bullet points in that. But the rest of the letter was mine. And we had some virality.
Yeah, people actually mobilized a little bit on this issue.
Yeah.
And so, like, actually got involved and really started calling their, you know, senators and emailing the governor. And I mean, I was impressed. I was impressed by the Florida hunters and fishermen mobilizing for this issue.
At the time of this recording, the best guess I have between Facebook shares, website statistics, anything else, is about 35,000 people saw that letter.
That's awesome.
That's a big number.
And the Cast and Blast Army was pissed.
Yeah, they were fired.
They were not happy.
So thank you guys. Whoever saw it, shared it, liked it, commented, posted. Like, it shows the power of the people. And you don't necessarily have to be, not disparaging a nonprofit, but you don't necessarily have to be a nonprofit or anything else to get some of this stuff to move. Sometimes it's just a
unification. Let's disparage the nonprofits.
Sometimes it's just a unification of groups.
We don't have to name names, but Travis's phone started ringing off the hook as soon as he published that letter and tagged nonprofits, and they were calling him saying, untag me. And he was like, hell no, I'm not untagging you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just shows the power of when voters actually make their voices heard.
Yes.
Like in a unified, you know, consistent way that things can happen. You know, our voices matter when it comes to stuff like this. And, you know, it really impressed me, the mobilization and how we kind of came together and just unified and then like got it done. It's awesome.
Yeah. And imagine that. Nobody had to pay any dues to Travis.
Right. No, although we will sell you a t-shirt, but, but no, the right thing is the right thing, right?
Right.
And there was some pushback on, well, I didn't like being put on blast. Okay. I've seen, you know, a lot of these groups put a lot of folks on blast a lot of times, you know?
Right, right.
And Emily talked about this. We love this show, The West Wing. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Nate, but I know your brother and sister have. And there's a scene in there where this political person says, I don't ring your bell just for fun. I ring your bell when it's important. And that's kind of how I felt about this. I didn't tag those nonprofits for fun. Like, I like a lot of those guys. I think a lot. Right. I respect the heck out of a lot of them.
We weren't trying to, like, say, you're not doing anything about this, so do something about it. We were, like, saying, look, this is something that we need to unify over.
Yeah. What are you going to do about this?
Help us out. Exactly. Yeah. And we weren't trying to, like, tag them and be like, oh, you've done nothing about this. It's like, hey, let's go. Let's do something. Let's get this done.
There hadn't even been time to do anything.
Right.
But I wanted to see some movement, and I wanted to see some public movement, because I've seen public movement on a whole lot of things, and I've watched a whole lot of live videos, and I've read a whole lot of statements and this, that, and the other. So this is one of those things. I mean, not to get too far into the political weeds, but this is the kind of situation, this is the kind of governor appointee that turns us into California 2.0.
Right.
You get an anti-hunting, anti-fishing, anti-environment guy on the Wildlife Commission. And suddenly,
with dogs, or, you know, we're not allowed to use feeders for deer anymore, or, you know, we're not, you know, name it. I mean, we can't hunt alligators anymore. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing. It just snowballs a little bit.
Suddenly a vacant lot in a neighborhood counts as a mitigation bank, or suddenly a vacant lot in a neighborhood counts as a wetlands area. And it's not, you know, like you can't have that in 1 acre. You can't have that concentration of wildlife and the uniqueness of the ecosystem in such a concentrated area. And so I'm super proud of it.
No, I'm pumped, man. I was super impressed.
You won't hear me say that often, but I was super proud of it. So thank you guys all for getting involved in that.
Cast and Blast Army.
Nate, have you seen this? Speaking of the Cast and Blast Army.
New shirts.
I'm holding up. We gave some shirts away. What was this? Back in December.
Yes.
And to Jeep Barn, and I think Nuclear Z. I think those were our winners. You don't have shirts yet, but they're coming. Just be patient, because we are still working out some kinks.
Slowly but surely, yeah.
Here's the problem. If you ever get to design a shirt, like, you know how the front of your shirt, like a small logo over your left breast area? Those are very difficult to position.
Yeah.
Without looking like a dangling nipple decoration of sorts.
There we go. Now we're off to the races.
So we're trying to get that placement just right, so it doesn't look like you got like a weird tattoo or something.
Yes. And because we don't use a screen printer locally, we use a drop shipping print on demand type deal.
It's not a quick turnaround.
Yeah. It's been a little bit of a process, but we are like, I would say we're at the last mile marker at this point.
I feel like the odd shirts that we have that aren't quite right, we should like auction those off as one of a kind.
Yeah.
Relics.
They'll be like worth something in 10 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And blessings to Stephanie Hoche, our graphic design artist.
Blessings.
Like to deal with me and Emily on different days and different things about the same logo. But poor girl, we haven't actually resolved or what's the word I'm looking for? We haven't changed the logo. We just keep asking for different parameters. Different we never sizes. Give her the right answer.
Yeah. We're the worst kind of clients.
We're like, can you give us one that's 2,000 dots per inch? The next day. Oh, by the way, can you give us one that's 3,000 dots per inch? Nate, what did you think of the new music?
It's cool, man. I like it a lot.
You like that?
Yeah. No, it's very cool.
I think it's pretty jamming. I will say, at some point we'll put the full song at the end of an episode so you can rock out with it. But I listened to the song as my pick-me-up song on the way to the boat ramp a few times last week. And on every hunt I listened to it on, we had no shutouts. Which is
all right.
Fairly remarkable in this season.
Yeah, new lucky song.
Because this season has been...
It's been a tough season.
It's been... Here's how I described it to somebody. Can we talk about duck season for a minute before we get to the episode?
Sure.
I mean, we're way off the rails.
I mean, for the guy who basically saved the state of Florida yesterday, sure.
So
the jeweler, everyone. The jeweler.
So here's how I'm describing duck season at this point. There's zero margin for error. And like, I don't know if you've noticed on social media, I've stopped posting pictures because I don't want to mislead anybody. Because we may have a hunt where we kill four wood ducks and you're like, wow, they're slaying the wood ducks. Those are all studs. It was only four ducks we saw.
Right.
Like, it's only four times the safety got clicked off. I have a hunt where we had a hunt where we killed six, you know, stud bluebills. It's only six ducks we saw. I mean, we had one group of maybe 10 come in. We killed six out of it and that was it. We didn't have another. So fortunately our shooting has been much improved this year.
Well, that's good.
But our duck numbers have not.
Do you think that's because I'm not there that the shooting has improved?
100%.
You know, I'm going to say no. Although your shooting has been straight fire like the last 10 hunts we've been
Look, on. I'm betting 1,000 this year.
Yeah.
I'm 2 for 2 on wood ducks, Drake wood ducks.
You shot at two ducks and killed two ducks.
Yep. Now, I've shot at two ducks and I've killed two ducks.
It hasn't happened as of this recording, but you're going on a wood duck hunt this weekend.
That is
hopefully,
true.
Hopefully, you're going to put some wood ducks down.
Oh my God. The mics aren't plugged in.
If you're still listening at this point, you may have noted that we just plugged our mics in.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the show, you two.
Yeah.
Good to have you.
First podcast for Emily and I. What number is this? 66?
66.
66, the money episode.
Is Big it? Time. This is
know.
The one everyone tries to get to?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I made that up. I always heard the 80s is the one people try to get to.
Really?
Yeah, you got to get in the 80s.
Somebody told me that if you get past 30, you're considered bona fide.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always heard 100 reviews, and we got a new review this week, but it's hidden still at the time of this recording.
iTunes is so stingy.
They are stingy, but they did a Twitter purge. They did a purge like Twitter does, you know, where followers disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And like there were podcasts I was listening to this week that were complaining because they lost like half their reviews, and we lost zero. So good job on being real, everyone.
Yeah, no bot reviews. I appreciate
no bot that. Reviews. I don't even know how you could get a bot review. We should investigate that, though. All right.
Oh, boy.
Here's the deal. We're talking about outdoor Eleanors this week.
Outdelanors.
No. Emily, tell me where Eleanor comes from, the term Eleanor.
I have no freaking clue.
Well, do you know any famous Eleanors?
Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Thank you, Nate. You actually do know where Eleanor comes from, right?
I do, yeah.
To recap, very briefly, for those listeners that may not know, the term Eleanor, as we're using it, comes from the movie Gone in 60 Seconds. It was had to be late 90s, early 2000s flick, starring Nicolas Cage as Memphis Randall Rains.
Whoop-de-whoop.
Giovanni Ribisi had a star turn as his brother, Kip. And the idea was they were car thieves. Oh, Timothy Oliphant's in it.
Hey.
You'd pay attention for that, right?
Yeah, she knows who that is.
A young Raylan Givens
hey.
As Detective Dreykov. Imagine him playing a lawman if you can.
That's the only character he plays.
Robert Duvall's in it too. Like this is a big name movie. Like, we should all have a family get together where we watch Gone in 60 Seconds. I feel like that's important.
Wait, did you tell me a young Angelina Jolie is in it?
She is.
Yeah, blonde hair, right?
Yeah, she looks kind of grungy, but it's Angelina Jolie, so she pulls it off. Here's the thing. They're car thieves. And Nicolas Cage, Randall Raines, Memphis, he always wants to steal this one car, the 1967 Shelby GT Cobra GT500. And every time he steals it, something goes terribly awry. So he can never steal this car. And they give the cars code names. So when they're talking to each other on the radio, they say, did you steal Lucy? Have you gotten Sally? This car in particular is Eleanor. And in the movie, Memphis's friend Donnie says, Eleanor is Memphis's unicorn. Eleanor's the thing that, it's a mythical creature. He can't make it happen.
Right.
So I feel like this exists a lot in the world. Like, for a long time, the Cubs could not win the World Series. That was their Eleanor.
Mm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea, she's shaking her head no, because she doesn't get this concept. Do you really not get this concept?
I do, but why wouldn't you just say, what's your unicorn?
No, because an Eleanor's cooler. It's a 67 Shelby GT500, the GT500.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cooler than a unicorn.
This is like, the movie is like Ocean's 11 with cars. You know?
Okay.
They're stealing cars instead of robbing casinos.
But is George Clooney in it?
No, Nicolas Cage is in it.
That is not the same
thing. I will say Scott Kahn's in it, who's one of the Malloy brothers in Ocean's 11, yeah. But he's also an idiot car thief in Gone in 60 Seconds. So there's a little crossover potential there.
These guys keep getting typecast.
Yeah. So we asked online, what is your outdoors Eleanor? And first, we'll go around and give ours, right?
Sure, yeah.
So do you want to go first, Nate? I did one hunting, one fishing. Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's what I did too.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'll start with fishing.
All right.
My fishing Eleanor is a 40-inch snook.
You've never caught a 40-inch snook?
I've never caught a 40-inch snook. I've been close. I've been like 35, 36.
Okay.
But I've never broke the 40-inch mark. So that's like that. And I've caught, what, thousands of snook in my life?
Nate, I would say for a recreational angler, a non-professional, non-guided angler, you've got to be in the top 10 of who I know for catching snook.
Yeah, so I've caught a lot of snook in my life, but I've never caught one over 40.
Is that partially, though, because you enjoy fishing so much, you'll often trade out targeting big fish for targeting fish?
Yeah, no, I mean, yes, I do like to catch a lot of fish. That's part of what I, you know, do, but we used to have a spot where we caught big fish.
All the time.
And I've fished there a lot, and I never did break that 40-inch mark. My sister did.
Yeah.
She caught one right at 40, which to this day still boggles my mind how she did it before me. But
yep.
And she fished there like twice in her life, and the second time she caught one, and it was like 40 inches. So anyway, 40-inch snook is my Eleanor for fishing.
Wow, that's a really good one.
That's unbelievable, yeah, like you said. Because Nate is in the boat if it's leaving.
Right, and here's the cool thing about the Eleanor idea. It's not something rare. Like, Nate's Eleanor is not a rooster fish.
Right.
It can't be something like a bluefin tuna.
Get it.
Right.
It's this thing that's within reach. It just doesn't quite ever happen.
Dude, I understand entirely.
Do you want to go next?
Sure. How many of these did we need?
Nate and I each did one hunting, one fishing, but I know that you'll probably pick rappers or something, so.
Well.
Here we go.
My Eleanor is the perfect post-hunt breakfast combo.
Okay.
All right.
Because the thing that I want doesn't exist.
It escapes you.
And I just need, what I need is someone to make a breakfast menu for psycho pregnant women, because that's sort of like what I want for breakfast. Like, for example, I have some combo suggestions.
Please. I'm sure right now folks are like leaning towards your radio and turning it up.
Right. So one of those suggestions, like, this would be the best breakfast combo: mac and cheese, blueberry pancakes with scrambled eggs with hot sauce.
I don't.
What?
Okay.
Here's another suggestion.
Yeah, I'm sure we need to hear another one of those.
Chicken and dumplings from Cracker Barrel, cinnamon rolls, and like a fruit bowl.
What?
I feel like we need to like do some cuts in here to splice in some of the silence as our jaws are like looking at you. Like,
because what I want for breakfast is like a dinner entree, but also something, a sweet breakfasty item.
Like a cinnamon roll / blueberry pancake.
Or a biscuit with like blackberry jelly.
Mm.
That is acceptable also.
It sounds like you need to go to Cracker Barrel at lunchtime.
Yes. And get
breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast and
lunch. That's what that is. You have hit the nail on the head. They don't have a breakfast lunch combo platter. So I have to order standalone items and it's
so it's like $27 to buy her breakfast. Yeah. Friend of the show, Andrea Connolly, who booked us for a wood duck hunt this year and was very successful. We went to Shack's Barbecue in Winter Haven. People book charters now all the time and they're like, we have to go to one of the breakfast places you talked about. Like that's like part of the deal, I guess.
I mean, it's a major part of the evening, or the morning.
So we go to Shack's and she says, we go at 11. 11 o'clock, they start serving lunch. At right. 12 o'clock, they stop serving breakfast.
Oh, they overlap. Are you kidding me? Boom. That is like baller, yo.
So I'm not gonna call out Andrea's thing specifically because I don't really remember, but I think it was a biscuit and gravy with a fried egg and a side of pulled pork.
That's a breakfast combo.
Do you respect that, Emily?
A biscuit and gravy and a fried egg with a side of pulled pork. Yes, except for I would have just gone all in for a pulled pork sandwich biscuit with some sort of sweet breakfasty item.
Okay. And you could have done that at Shack's that day.
Except for, yeah, we went to Shack's and they didn't let me do that.
Well, I think, I don't know what to tell
you. It's my Eleanor.
It is your Eleanor. You just
can't. It's just out of reach.
It's just out of reach. That's good. That's a good one. I'm going to go. Nate went fishing first. I'm going to go hunting first. My Eleanor is the gray duck. Like one of the most common ducks in North America, the gadwall.
The gadwall.
Can't kill one. Can't kill one. I've been on hunts specific to people that are dialed in on gadwalls. I've been in a group of people that shot into flocks of gadwalls, and I went and picked up my birds, and they were widgeon. And everyone else picked up gadwalls. Like, it just, I don't think it's ever going to happen. People are like, oh, I'll put you on a gadwall. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to come over there, and we're going to, like, limit out on pintails and mallards. And it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I'm convinced of it. And they are a pretty duck.
Have you seen one?
In my life? Yeah, I've been in the blind where we shot them. Guys on either side shot them, and I shot a different duck out of the flock.
Wow.
Like, it's unheard of how hard it is for me to shoot one.
Hmm.
And this is a very, very common duck. Nate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what the guys in Arkansas shoot and Louisiana and everywhere. We don't get them a ton in Florida, but we get a few. But it's not like
in huntable numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not uncommon at all to kill gadwalls in Florida. So anyway, a gadwall is my Eleanor, not a canvasback. People were like, I thought it'd be canvasback. I've never killed a stud drake canvasback, but I have killed canvasbacks before. I've never made a gadwall, hen or drake, fall and hit the water or the land or anywhere.
Right.
So that's my personal hunting Eleanor. What about you?
My like hunting Eleanor would be just a whitetail buck. I've never killed a male whitetail deer before.
Really?
I've killed several does and a ton of like hogs and stuff, like, and a bunch of wood duck species or duck species and stuff like that. But I've never killed a buck deer before.
Okay.
And it's not that I haven't had opportunity. And I'll preface it by saying this. We had a lease where I've had several bucks come by that I could have shot, but we kind of had like an 8-point rule on the lease. And, I was looking for more of a mature deer, and there was a couple of deer that were kind of borderline that I probably should have shot, but I kind of was holding off. And it's really my fault technically that I haven't done this yet, just cause I had held off while we were on this like private lease for a long time. But now that I don't have that lease anymore, I'm like, and I'm hunting primarily public land now. Bets are off, man. If it's legal, I'm shooting it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Any antlers that comes by, like, that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah. And I find this shocking as well because you're very – I told somebody the other day, I was like, Nate's probably one of the best outdoorsmen I've run across because, like, you put you in the woods and you just slip into full-on – you disappear or on a boat. Like, you're so good at that stuff. So it's kind of surprising. But I will also say, like, didn't your dad sit in the stand for like the first time in 15 years and like a 10 point walked out or a monster 8 point or something?
So the first deer my dad ever shot was a 137 inch 9 point
on the same lease.
That was killed in Central Florida
on the same lease.
Giant deer. He didn't even really understand what he had just done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've hunted deer for, I mean, going on 15 years now, and I have not shot a buck yet. So that's my goal for the next year or so, is to do that.
If anyone's listening to this and wants to take Nathan to their prime land to check that off, please.
Yeah. I'm open to
message us. We'll get you connected, because that like hurts me. Em, did you have something you wanted to say?
This is round two of the Eleanors.
Yeah.
Greens with hot sauce, biscuits with blackberry jelly, and candied bacon.
Okay. That's good, babe.
And if this is Cracker Barrel, I want to buy a box of hot tamales on the side on the way out.
For the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little candy action for the way home.
Oh, God, those are so good.
Did you understand the exercise?
Dude, I'm nailing this.
You think?
What are you talking about?
You are. Maybe I.
You're making me hungry. That's for sure.
That's right.
All right. Here's mine. I'm going fishing this time. And this one, I've never caught a cobia. Never hooked a cobia. Never. I've had tons of clients catch cobias. Like, a lot of clients catch cobias. I've never caught one. So that's strange, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially being around people that have caught them. And as much time as you spend on the water every year, you would think at some point you'd pick one up.
Law of large numbers says at some point you're going to catch a cobia. But generally speaking, if one comes cruising along, we're going to pitch a bait in front of it, and I'm going to hand it to a client. Like, that's the way it goes.
Right.
Or honestly, I've handed it to buddies in the boat. Like, I've been out recreational fishing with friends and been like, here, pitch this bait up in front of that guy. And they're not that hard to catch when you can find them. Like, they're really kind of easy to catch. I don't see a ton of them where I fish, but when we do see them, we usually can catch them. Maybe it's because I'm such a sweet guy. I'm always giving someone else the rod.
That's it.
You think that's the thing?
I had so many things go through my mind so fast. I couldn't even respond.
All right. We asked on my Facebook page for some of our listeners to share their Eleanors. So, Nate, you got any you liked?
Yeah, this one was funny. Justin Seelig, friend of the show, he said, people letting birds work in decoy was his Eleanor.
He can't find anybody that will let him.
That was pretty funny.
Okay. Another friend of the show, Chad Andrews, says, Ross goose going through piles of snows like nope, et cetera. Kubera always the other rod. I have no idea what that means.
I'll translate that for you.
Thank you, Nate.
A Ross goose is a type of white goose, kind of like a snow goose, but it's a little different species. So you get them mixed in with snow geese periodically.
Oh, and he's saying
there would be like, they killed like a pile of snow geese, and he was flipping through them like, that's not a Ross. That's not a Ross. That's not a Ross. Right.
Right.
And then a Kubera snapper, it's a fish. It's a Kubera snapper. And he's saying it's always on the other rod. It's never on his rod.
Oh. So
he's saying like a Kubera snapper for fishing and a Ross goose for
hunting. It was like encoded, like he was a Soviet spy. Like, I had no idea what those words meant.
Soviet spies talk about that stuff a lot. Ross gooses and Ross geese. Ross's geese.
Ross geese.
I don't know how to
plural. If they're talking in code, how do you know what they're talking about?
That's true. That's a good point. Listen, Nate, I'm not going to say friend of this show, Chad Andrews, and I had a conversation about you this week, but you guys familiar with the term ghosting?
Yes.
You know what that means, Emily?
Yes,
I had a Tinder person ghost me just the other day.
Can you?
Wait, what?
I'm kidding.
Can you explain what ghosting means?
Yeah, it's when you're like having a conversation with someone over text or whatever, and then all of a sudden they just vanish.
Okay.
They gone.
Do you know what haunting is by Urban Dictionary standards?
Is it when they come back after a long time?
Haunting is when they ghost you, but they still like click like on your Facebook post, or they click like on your Instagram. They don't comment. It's apparent they are there. There's some, it may have been suggested that Nate, is haunting Chad Andrews online.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Like, he likes his posts, but he doesn't comment, or he likes his... I mean, Nate and Chad have met
him. I don't comment on anything, yeah. ever. I don't care who you are. Like, I don't comment on it. I feel
like
it.
We just touched the nerve a little bit. I usually just
like it.
Dang.
I just think it's weird that... Okay.
I'm just...
No, it's cool.
I'm just pointing it out. You know, I'm just trying to bridge the gap.
I think you should just now leave him a comments with the ghost emoji.
Yeah. I'm haunting his comments.
Actually, Emily commented on my thread and said the perfect post-hunt breakfast. I guess this has been on your heart for quite some time.
You know, I've been meditating on it and seeking, you know, advice and wisdom from other people. And I'm going to open my own restaurant.
Are you?
And call it Eleanor's.
That's
there you go. Perfect.
That's outstanding. Josh Wynn talked about sidecasting a tailing permit on a fly. That's
big time.
That's big time. We surprisingly had a number of folks in Florida talk about model ducks. They're like,
really?
Kind of. Yeah. Well, it's the same. It's the same as like me with the cobia or Nate with the big snook. Like, you just kind of assume hunting in Florida, the law of large numbers say a model is going to come into your spread at some point, but you end up chasing ringnecks or teal or redheads or whatever. And you've got these piles of ducks you've killed. And like Ryan Briggs, he's killed a ton of ducks. R.C. Gilliland's like me. He's never killed a gadwall. He's killed a ton of ducks. Landon Blankenship, who has killed models before but wants to kill another one to mount for the wall. It's just – it's funny when you think about it. Like, the concept's super unique, I think, within the outdoors world.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
What was I going to ask you about?
I don't know.
Oh, I came up with another Eleanor of mine. Please. I don't know if the world's ready for it.
Please. I'm sure the world is ready for it. And we can always delete this segment.
I need someone to invent the perfect urination device for women on a boat.
Yeah. We're going to have to put some music over this.
Does not exist.
So the You Go Girl is not all that you
know. The You Go Girl is not endorsed by Emily Thompson or the Cast of Blast Florida podcast.
Yeah. Joe Maley said the jackalope would be great.
Jackalope?
Joe Maley, get out of here.
Anyway, it's pretty fun. Christian Serena said an Osceola. He's seen plenty of them killed. He's had people there with him when they were killed. Never killed one.
Right.
I was going to ask if anybody said the Osceola in Florida.
Yeah, which, again.
That's another one of those weird ones.
You assume you just are going to kill those hand over fist. Friend of the show, Tyler Anderson, talked about the whistling ducks. Which is crazy because
there are whistling ducks everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tyler's out on the water all the time. I see him at the ramps. We hunt the same places, but I get what he's saying. Like, whistling ducks are up in this part of the state, like in the STAs, they concentrate heavily, but in this part of the state, they tend to vanish pretty quickly. Like, they're there and then they're not. So,
well, they're nomadic, right? So they go where the food is. So once they eat a place out, they just move.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like we did justice to, one of the great movies of our time and paid homage to Eleanor correctly using the outdoors as a backdrop?
Yeah, I feel like that.
You feel that way, Emily?
Sure.
Emily doesn't care. She's drawing pictures of a ham steak covered with mashed potatoes and a side of waffles.
A breakfast burrito with a side of chocolate Coca-Cola cake.
Oh.
Oh.
Dang.
Oh.
Come at me. See? Hunters and pregnant women. I got your restaurant right here.
I don't even know anymore. Nate, we're going to do it correctly this week. What is your release?
My release this week is Rick Scott.
Oh, snap.
Pulled the political, I feel like this is a dirty political move. And I know people do it all the time, and it drives me crazy. When they, like, the last thing they do, like, the week before they get out of office, they just start changing everything and, like, throwing stuff and appointing people. And, like, all of a sudden, it's like they had 8 years to figure out how to make it work. And then all of a sudden, the last week of their thing, they actually do part of what their job is to do, even though they do it poorly. It just drives me crazy. Like, you know, he appointed that Bailoff or that Beoff guy, whatever. I don't even know how to say his name. You know, in this like last second effort, just to kind of stick it to Floridians, you know,
okay. Can I say this? It's insane he did that in that he got another job representing the state of Florida.
Right.
It's not like, it's not like, let's say he was a Republican governor of Florida, which he was, but let's say he was Republican governor of Florida and the Democrat won. And he's like, okay, I'm going to stick it to the Democrat going out of office. I'm not saying that's right, but it would make more sense in that instance. This is like bizarro world, next level type weird. Crazy stuff.
Totally
this is,
weird.
This is okay. And for the record, several people came onto my letter, came onto our posts, came onto like, this is what you get for voting for Rick Scott. First off, back off, dude. You don't know who I voted for. And P.S. I've said pretty clearly, I didn't vote for Rick Scott or Bill Nelson because they were both clowns. They were both complete buffoons. However, this is not about voting for Rick Scott. This was about a terrible appointment. So let's compartmentalize for a second. We need Governor DeSantis to remove Baruff, which hopefully by the time this comes out has been officially done and mandated and everything. But like I said, I heard him announce it today watching him live. But Rick Scott does not get a pass on this. And if you haven't sent a letter to his office letting him know what a jackass move this was, you need to. He does not get a pass on this. It's embarrassing to me that this is the move he took. And frankly, he should be held accountable for it.
What did he have to gain from doing it? It seems like a bonehead move.
Well, if you dig into it, Baruff made huge contributions to Scott.
Ah.
Like money. Huge contributions.
Of course it's about money.
It's about money.
Silly, Emily.
It's such
all politics is money. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing else.
And you know what else I've noticed in the last 2 weeks is watching through this entire process, like all politicians, good ones, bad ones, whatever, they're going to name other politicians and whoever benefits them and campaigns for them. And they're not really worried about who's going to be the best for the state. They're worried about political favor. It's just, it's really a crappy system all the way around. So that's a good release, Nate. That's a good one.
My turn? Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My release, I am releasing alcohol. Starting January 14th.
This is a Brad Pitt song, right?
For who's Brad Pitt sings?
Brad Paisley.
I'm like, that guy has it all. He's a triple threat.
I was on Angelina Jolie and then I went to Brad Pitt. Like it's all.
Okay. 6 weeks challenge. I'm doing it. No alkies for 6 weeks.
So. Wow.
Get ready, world.
Are you excited?
Sober Emily.
You will sleep better because you always don't sleep good when you drink.
Yeah, I still don't drink at home, really.
Very rarely.
Yeah, if you're a
just
long-time
the holidays
listener.
When you deal with our families.
Oh God. There's not enough.
Yeah. So would you like my release?
I would.
Venue rentals.
Oh.
So we've been talking quietly behind the scenes and we've talked to a couple of folks out in the community about doing a get together, a post duck season, pre fishing season shindig. Somewhere and trying to get some folks together, have a couple of beers, discuss like some of our strategies for being at these meetings and some of our strategies for being involved in like invasive plant management and spraying and the water quality and stuff moving forward and making sure that not just the nonprofit's interests are represented, but also like all hunters and fishermen in Florida are represented. Anyway, we've been talking about doing that. Venues are expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. I'm like, these are good old country boys. Like, we need a cooler and some picnic tables.
Right.
Now that you say that, maybe we just go to a state, like a park.
Yeah. I think that's where we're going to end up because, man, this is like, I was like, this is insane.
We'll bring like a kiddie pool. We can take turns.
Putting beer in it or?
People.
No, we're not going swimming.
Oh. But it's hot.
Anyway, keep an eye open for that. That's going to be coming in the next few weeks. We're going to be putting some dates out there and talk about that. But you guys that always want to hang out, we want to hang out with y'all.
Totes McGigglyoats.
So anyway, venue rentals is my release. Who's
it's a good release.
Can I do my keep first since we're here?
Sure.
We'll do like a serpentine method.
Go.
All right. Friend of the show. No, sorry. He is friend of the show, but we're going to call him the official taxidermist of the show. Landon Blankenship.
Right.
Like, you have to be very careful with titles around here.
Give that guy the respect he deserves.
Yeah. Last year, we gave away a duck hunt, and this year, we're not – we did it for youth season, but the season has been so weird around here. Like, we didn't even put that together. Like, it was just – it wasn't worth some of the the logistics we were going to sort through. So we're still going to take a bunch of kids hunting, but we're not doing it through a giveaway. But Landon had reached out to us early in the season and said, hey, I want to do a mount for the youth hunt or however you want to do that. Well, he called me this week. He's like, you guys going to do the youth hunt? And I was like, no. So he announced on Florida Duck Hunters that he's going to be giving away a mount. And if you're not following him on Instagram and you want to get in on this, I would go follow him. It's Florida_waterfowler. And keep an eye out there. I don't know when he'll be announcing it, but he's going to be announcing a giveaway for a youth to get a mount. And this is going to be something they're going to have forever because this is going to be legit.
Yeah, and
that's big time.
A huge value.
Huge value. I mean, that guy's given up 10, 12 hours of his time mm-hmm. and all the equipment and supplies he needs for that. And good grief, man. So super cool. We talked about our pay your age duck hunts and all that stuff. This mm-hmm. is another example of somebody like giving back to the community.
Man, that's the only way we're going to keep recruiting people and teach them to love the sport.
So, yep, I love that.
And what's your keep?
So my keep, I don't think we've talked about this on the show, but there's an Amazon show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, snap.
And it might look sort of like a chick show, I think, if you were to look at it on spec. But Travis and I watch it together, and the cinematography.
The sets.
The costumes. I mean, it's like, it's a love letter to the 50s.
Yeah.
And the 40s.
50s and 60s, I think.
Yeah, and it's smart. Like, the comedy is so smart. It's very adult.
It's safe for Emily's mom, because Emily's mom is...
She's crazy.
Yeah. Probably not safe for Travis's mom.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Your mom's a little crazy, too.
My mom's insane.
Not safe for kids, but...
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
So, so good. I just can't say enough about it. It's about a female comic coming into her own, and...
Yeah, it's really well written. It's really funny.
We watch one episode of it. They're about an hour long. And then we have to like just walk away from it because you're so overwhelmed by how awesome it is. Check it out if you need a new show.
Yeah,
if you're looking, Mrs. Maisel.
Looking for something to binge watch.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Thanks.
All right, Nate, bring it on home.
All right. So my keep is a Christmas gift I got. It's the Meat Eater Fishing Game Cookbook.
Okay.
And this isn't. Like, he's got a book about hunting, fishing, butchering, cooking wild game, which is like a comprehensive guide. He's got two volumes, big game, small game. But this is an actual cookbook.
Right.
With like pictures and recipes and how to break down animals and what cuts of meat to use for this and that and others. And it's big game, small game, birds, and fish. So fresh and saltwater fish. So it's really good. So if you're into wild game and fish, cooking fish, go check it out. It's very, very comprehensive and very good.
Yeah. I don't know if you can officially be an outdoorsman at this point if you don't have that cookbook. Like, that seems like the standard, like, for everybody in the backcountry hunters and anglers group and the Florida Duck. Like, everyone seems to have this book. It seems standard issue at this point.
So, have to check that out.
Yeah, I feel a little left out, honestly.
Is it on Amazon Prime?
Yeah. So I could have it here like in 2 days.
Yeah.
Did we order something on Amazon Prime and it came the same day?
Yes.
That happens.
It scared Travis to death.
Yeah, that's like a sign of the end times, man. I'm just not ready for that kind of stuff. That's like season 6 of Parks and Rec, like when they're living in the future and Grizzle's taking over and the drones are like anticipating their needs and their data mining and stuff. Yeah. That's where we're at right there.
Good. I'm glad we got a Parks and Rec reference in.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a minute.
Stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, where we'll be serving chicken fried chicken, chocolate chip pancakes, and a side of buttered broccoli. For more info on the cookbook Nate mentioned, or links to Landon Blankenship's Instagram page in case you want to know more about the youth duck hunt mount, or links to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime, check out our show notes. If you want to become a friend of the show, leave us a comment, and you might even get featured. We'll see you guys next week. Later.